Hello and welcome to the next episode of Select Match Type. I'm Simon Calgill, joined as ever by Christopher Ellis. Hi Chris, how are you?
I'm not too bad, sorry, tired, but I'm okay. This match perked me up. Good.
That's a nice positive start to the podcast.
Exactly. Look, it's like, you know, if anyone's tired, they're now pumped that by the end of this, we're discussing this episode and this match, they're now going to be buzzing by the time they get to the end of it, ready to take on Giants.
Yeah, that is a very good metaphor for life this match as well. So, yeah. So, as you alluded to there, Chris, the match that we're looking forward to today is from Unforgiven 2006, and it's the first ever handicap Hell in a Cell match. There were Shane McMahon and Vince teaming with the Big Show to take on the reformed D-Generation X, Triple H and Shawn Michaels. What do you remember this one at the time? What are your memories?
No. As I was saying off air behind the curtain, 2006 is kind of a blank space for me in wrestling, because I was just weren't into it at that time. 2 years, it would have been 2008. I'd have been back into it. We'd have been fine. But no, 2006. I have no recollection of this match, so it was a first watch, which is always nice.
Yeah, I did stay up and watch this one at the time. I was at sixth form at the time, and I never had any lessons on a Monday morning, so it worked out quite nicely, to be fair. But I remember very little about the match itself, apart from the ending. I think it's the limelight from this is probably stolen a little bit by the main event, which was the TLC match between Edge and Cena, and it was in Canada, so it was a massive hometown crowd for Edge. Probably like the CM Punk in Chicago of its day, because obviously this one was a few years before that.
It's still giving me goosebumps, the CM Punk reaction shot. Still watch that, didn't even watch the match, just watch the intro.
Just watch that, yeah, definitely. So the story behind this one, DX basically formed in response to Triple H's and Shawn Michaels' lives being made miserable by Vince McMahon. There's a great clip that sometimes appears on my Facebook feed where they reform as Triple H is being beaten down by the Spirit Squad. Vince calls a couple more guys out, but one of them flies out of the apron, and it's Shawn Michaels who sprints down to the ring, and they reform and do the suck it chops to Vince on the apron. It, for some reason, it must be because whenever it pops up I watch it, and so it's stuck in my algorithm, but that comes up a surprising amount of times, to be fair.
It's always nice to see him reunited.
Yeah.
I mean, it had gone on far too long originally. But, and to be fair, this one, probably by the end, everyone was glad it was over again by the time we got to the end of the X in this room. But yeah. It's always nice to relive that nostalgia.
Yeah, no, absolutely. This was quite tame and PG compared to the sort of DX stuff from the mid-90s. Obviously, Shawn Michaels at this point in time is a born-again Christian as opposed to a wanker. So, yeah, the sort of pranks they were doing were still, like, quite fun, but it was quite different from the mid to late 90s version.
Always swapped your coffee for tea, the little tinker.
Yeah. Well, there's... So there's a few things that happened through the build to this. So again, a clip that comes up all the time is Triple H dressed as Vince and Shawn Michaels dressed as Shane, and they come out doing impressions of them, and Shawn Michaels doing the sort of the bouncing entrance Shane McMahon. It's quite funny. There's also DX vandalizing planes, limos and buildings with the DX spray paint. They take over the production truck on one Raw and make Vince's voice really high. Really sort of juvenile stuff, but quite funny at the time, I seem to remember. So, yeah. And basically, Vince is sick of DX and wants rid of them. The start of the show recaps it quite well, and it talks about Vince having an all-consuming hatred of DX. And they're going to team with the Big Show, which JR describes as DX's death sentence. Did you watch
ECW champion Big Show? Yeah.
He is looking large in the at this point in time.
I didn't watch the pre-match, I'm afraid. it started, and I was running low on time during this viewing, so I dove straight in.
Fair enough. There was a backstage segment where Vince and Shane were talking. Vince basically watches himself pin Triple H on Raw after the Big Show has destroyed him. And then Shane talks about the plan is for Big Show to go in and rip everyone apart. And Vince, massively healing it up, says, "Unlike Canada, who rely on their allies doing all the work, that's not the way I roll. That's not my style. I'll be the one kicking ass and taking names in there. DX have got no chance. No chance in hell." Very good heel work, as you'd expect from Vince McMahon at this point in time.
Yeah, if there's anyone who knows how to be a heel, it's Vinnie Mac.
Yeah, exactly. JR introduces a new cell which is bigger and stronger. He says that it's 20 feet higher. I'm not sure if he means it's 20 feet tall, because I'm sure it was originally 20 feet. It's not going to be 40 feet, is it?
Yeah, it's not higher when you look at it. That's the obvious thing to take from it. It's a logic on. They built a cell 8,000 miles high.
Which is basically a way of saying, look at how high the building is that Shane McMahon's going to jump off in this match.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it were. Maybe they're just like, oh my God, I can't believe they built a ring 85 feet across, coast to coast.
Yeah, exactly. JR also talks about how it took 2 weeks to build. That doesn't seem like that long. Unless there were people working on it constantly, like 24 hours a day. 2 weeks isn't a massive amount of time to build structure.
How long does it take to build a cage?
I don't know. Well,
surely can't take that long.
No, especially
I can't imagine.
It's not the first iteration. They've got something to go on.
Surely he's been like factory pressed. They've not got some bloke with a blade touch and anvil.
He's manually weaving the steel together for each panel. Yeah.
So it's like the work of a skilled artisan.
Maybe what he meant is, we ordered this 2 weeks ago, and they decided to make it last night. That could be it, but
that's possibly it. But yeah, it does look sturdier.
It does look sturdier.
The old cages are normally chicken wire. Yeah. So yeah, the old cages are generally kind of flimsy and kind of like chicken wirey. So yeah, this does, to be fair to them, this does actually look like a more sturdy structure.
Yeah. And as we talked about previously, like things like the panel on the roof starting to fall through isn't the sort of safe working environment you'd necessarily want, especially if it's 800 feet tall. So they needed to reinforce
it. You reckon this after Mick Foley actually sued? That wasn't even meant to happen. That was an accident.
Is that like
that's like a workers' comp claim?
Was it around here that Foley was in TNA, or was that a bit later than then?
No, it must be around this kind of time. Clearly, he's in a workplace dispute with WWE. He's sued where he's fallen through a cage.
Yeah.
And they've gone, right, we can't have that happen again. We're going to have to build a new one.
Yeah.
Tell Joe we're not having one man build here again. We have to make sure this is... Yeah.
It would have taken Joe 4 weeks, but they got Joe's brother involved as well, so...
Yeah.
So they move on to the entrances. Shane McMahon comes out to Here Comes the Money, obviously. JR has quite a few one-liners, again, as he's done pretty much throughout the series, but he says there's no silver spoons in this steel. The cell is half lowered as Shane comes out, which, again, I'm not a big fan of. It should be lowered before everyone comes out.
Yeah, we comment on that. You want it to look imposing. You don't want... The problem is these teams are supposed to hate each other. I want to tear each other apart. You don't want them having to stand in the ring while everything gets sorted out. You want it to be right in, go, cage door lock.
Yeah. Big Show comes out next. As you say, he's the ECW champion. The title looks so small in his hands. There is no way he's getting that around his waist.
That's the excuse I've made as well. It's like, no, I'm just ECW champion.
Yeah, I can do what I like. The King and JR, as the Big Show's coming out, talk about how rich the McMahons are, and King questions whether JR is just jealous of the McMahons. And JR says he can't imagine what it would like to be a billionaire, never mind a millionaire, or a hundredaire. Is he looking for sympathy? Does he not have $100 to his name? He's been working in the business for 20 odd years at this point.
Sank it all in the barbecue sauce, man. That's what happened.
Yeah, the barbecue business hadn't quite taken off for him at this point in time.
No. He's got 30,000 gallons of JR's barbecue sauce in the shed.
Just a cash flow problem.
So, right, well, as soon as I saw this first jar, that's it. Yeah. I'm going to be rolling in it.
Yeah, the floodgates will open. King also says that Shane was annoyed as a kid that gumball machines didn't take credit cards. Just because he's rich doesn't mean he didn't have cash.
I was going to say, we just let that one hang there.
Yeah, it's not a great line. Can sort of see what he's going for, but yeah. Out next, obviously, the third member of this team, Vince McMahon, he comes confidently strutting out. JR says that here comes Satan's role model, which I thought was a nice line.
It is a good line. Let's see McMahon's quads not explode when he gets in the ring.
Yeah. Well, that only happened the year before this, so he's confident. He's been working on his quads for a year since the previous injury. JR also points out that none of this team have ever been in a Hell in a Cell before, and this is the first ever handicap match that's been inside a Hell in a Cell. And then he starts listing the injuries that have happened. He starts off talking about careers that have been ended, like even referees and Tim White in a previous Hell in a Cell and the cameraman from the first Hell in a Cell that we mentioned. But he finishes it by talking about a broken foot and bruised kidneys. Surely you want to build to career-ending injuries opposed to bruises.
Yeah, I'm about to say that's the completely wrong way to go. It's like, yeah, and then Edge got a hangnail.
Stub toe off the ring steps. It's all gone down here. There's a long pause between that and Are You Ready hitting. DX sort of getting the crowd quite pumped up before they come out. I still love the theme. Still gets me quite excited to see them come out and wrestle. I really like the sort of overlaid Titantron videos as part of their entrance as well. I know the NWO did a similar thing with the black and white and the sort of Titantron thing coming over the camera. But yeah, I still enjoy it even to this day.
Yes. It's great. That theme tune kicks in. And again, as we're saying, it just brings you back to that absolute peak time for WWE. You go, yeah, it's probably up there with Stone Cold's glass breaking is the theme that most sums up WWE.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not
probably. And Hulk Hogan, obviously.
Yeah.
But let's talk about that.
Yeah, exactly. I did notice, so as DX make their way to the ring, the cell has been lowered around the other three. Why lower it between? Like, have it be lowered on camera so you can see how intimidating it is. But DX get in and the Big Show sort of pushes his way to the front as if to say, I'm going to take control of this, leave it to me, guys. But DX hit a double low blow kick to him and goes straight after the McMahons. How wide is the Big Show's groin that two men's legs can go in there?
I'm not sure you got to ask that.
I know. Well, that's
quite... you got to answer.
The Big Show does get quite a working over in that sort of area, and there's a few lines on commentary that allude to that sort of thing.
Let's face it, later on, we nearly get to see exactly what it's got down there, so
yeah.
they have to be careful with that. We'll get onto that, I'm sure.
Yeah, we will. So, as I say, DX go after the McMahons. As always happens when Sean's in Canada, there's you screwed Brett chance. Sean always got booed in Canada after the Montreal screw job. It was surprising to see DX be so over, but I guess Canadians' hatred of Shawn Michaels is only topped by their hatred of Vince McMahon.
Yeah, I suppose we're looking at the layer of who actually screwed him. They must look and go, oh yeah, Sean kind of screwed him. But yeah, really, it's Vince, so
yeah.
We'll have to boo both. But yeah, we'll boo Vince that much harder.
Triple H was also involved. He was the one that like quickly escorted Shawn Michaels out of the ring. We're just lucky that we haven't got Earl Hebner here to swear on his kid's life that he wasn't involved. Big Show comes back into the ring, takes another low blow. So The match has been going for maybe 3 or 4 minutes and he's taken two massive kicks to the testicles. JR says, he may endure some swelling in there, I'll never know, but it could be the case.
I don't think you will know. Unless Big Show's wandering around later on going, look at these.
There was no need for JR to say it, though. Like, he may endure some swelling. I didn't assume that JR would know from that whether that was the case or not. It was just a weird thing to say.
It's like he's reading off the list of side effects from a prescription. Yeah. may cause ball swelling.
Well, you can add that to the list of injuries the next time a Hell in a Cell match is about to take place.
Split, torn muscles, slip disc, bruised bollocks.
Yeah, absolutely. Shane McMahon gets launched from the outside of the apron into the cell by Shawn Michaels, who just basically pulls the rope to bounce him into it. JR says, that didn't taste like quiche or a feast prepared by a chef. He's all in on the silver spoon character for Shane.
Yeah, he is very much doubling down on the they're rich. I don't think that's why everyone hates the Batmans either.
No,
I think they just hate because they're dicks.
Yeah, pretty much.
If they were poor, they would still be exactly that. Well, on TV, they would be portrayed exactly the same.
Yeah,
I'm not going to comment what they're like in real life. I don't know.
Yeah. One thing I was going to mention, so. People always talk about wrestlers that have gone from face to heel so many times that it could basically happen every week. So they talk about The Big Show, they talk about Kane, Jericho, it happened to quite a lot. But no one seems to mention Shane McMahon in that. But he's someone that turned face to heel, heel to face so often that it was like it became a bit of a... Well, it wasn't surprising when it happened anymore.
No, I think although he's wrestled countless times, because he's not part of the main roster, I don't think anyone ever really thinks to include him. Because his storylines where he turns up only play out normally over a month or so.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's ever long running. It's rare they ever. It builds up to some of the, say, maybe SummerSlam. You don't often see. Of Shane Angle really playing up to WrestleMania.
Well, the most recent one.
Probably the Miz.
Yeah, the Miz one, the best in the world, and he came back as a face to start that, and it was basically got more and more arrogant and turned into a heel. But yeah, I get what you're saying. Although you could probably say the same about the Big Show and Kane in the last, I don't know, eight, ten years.
Yeah, that's. I mean, to be fair, with Big Show and Kane, it just smacks of them having. Absolutely no idea what they want to do with them. Yeah. And they keep flip-flopping.
Yeah, true. So from being bounced into the cell, Shane's busted open. Again, it's a nice camera job of showing Vince and then cutting back to Shane, as we've talked about. The camera works good again throughout this. Triple H then launches Vince into the cell, and we get the grating of the face against the cell for both Shane and Vince. Vince is now busted wide open. I wonder if we'll ever see a Vince McMahon match where he doesn't bleed.
No, he does love to bleed. I think my favourite Vince match where he bleeds out is the Buried Alive match against The Undertaker.
Yeah, he has blood left in his body then.
He is gushing out, he is squirting out his head.
Yeah, he's a man that loves to go the extra mile.
Yeah, hang on, so I think my Wi-Fi's playing up. I'm going to just change just to...
So yeah, at this point in the match, DX are completely dominant. Triple H then gets a screwdriver from under the ring and basically stabs Vince in the face with it, which I thought was quite extreme.
It's weird with this, right? Because yes, you want to have people who use weapons and stuff, and you want it to look have that kind of violent edge. The problem with screwdrivers is unless you're going to stab him in the face, stab him with it. It's an awful weapon to choose because there's only what you're going to slightly poke him in the head with a screwdriver.
Yeah, I mean, what do you want to see, I guess? Like, do you want to see him just stab him repeatedly in the face?
Yeah. But, I'd rather they spend the money on decent practical effects work, and they get to the end of it, and Gerald's like, just silence, just, I can't believe we killed him. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, but then he appears the next week on Raw. He's definitely done that before.
The problem is as well, Vince's screaming doesn't exact. I know it probably hurt being staff being having that in your head, but his screaming is insanely over the top.
Yeah, I quite enjoyed the commentary of at this point as well. So King says, come on, there's got to be some rules. And JR is at the end of his tether. For the 88th time, there are no rules. This is the 14th Hell in a Cell match, and we've called virtually all of them. There's no rules. There's only victims. He was getting more and more annoyed, but then had to work in like the Hell in a Cell cliche commentary at that point, I think.
Guys, the pro just pulled it back. It just about to snap. Just like, no, remember, just calm down.
Yeah. Everyone goes back to the ring. The Big Show comes in and overpowers both Triple H and Shawn Michaels. Hits a couple of scoop slams and whips Triple H out of the ring. Big Show follows him, but Shawn Michaels goes for a splash, gets caught. Big Show then gets thrown into the cell. And into the steps. So Big Show has been involved in the match for about 20 seconds so far in 10 minutes. He's really earning his money at this point in time.
He's a big man. He's gassed, is he? Yeah. He's got a chip.
Yeah, he needs to pace himself very much so in this match. Triple H hits his running knee on Vince. Michaels is in the corner hitting chops on Shane. Goes for the 10 punch, but Big Show comes back in. And then Big Show starts to take over a bit with some slow dominating offense. They do a good job of making him seem like a monster here, because he's the only thing that can sort of stop Triple H and Michaels dominate. Hits a choke slam on Triple H, and then on the outside does the alley-oop powerbomb, which is the worst move in wrestling, but he does it into the cell on Michaels. So it's the powerbomb, but when he's up, he throws him backwards instead of
a reverse powerbomb. Yeah, exactly. Pretty much.
Molly Holly used to have it as her finisher as well, I think. I only know that from an old SmackDown game, but
I think it looks really good when he throws it. When it's done into a cage or an object, I think it looks really good.
I think it could do, but here, he gets him up, stops, and then just lifts him onto it. If he'd have actually, like, thrown him, that would have looked much better.
He would have just killed him. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. Michaels then gets thrown into the cell. JR, as we've talked about before, describes it as like a javelin, but then goes on to say, the fence was like a javelin catcher. What is a javelin catcher? Is it the ground?
In which case, he's wrong. The fence is not like the ground.
In no way. Michaels is massively busted open. We've talked about it often in the past, but he's a very good bleeder, and he bleeds a lot here. And the Big Show carries on dominating. The crowd are quite flat at this point. Not in the same way as... So when we watched the Triple H Foley one, when Triple H was on top, the crowd weren't sat on their hands. They were actively booing. Whereas here, they're just silent when the Big Show's dominating. They're just waiting for the comeback, essentially.
Yeah, I think that's the thing with it. With the fact that they'd had the beatdown on DX over the past couple of weeks, I don't think anyone was looking at this going, oh, I think McMahon and Big Show are going to win. I think everyone knew it was going to be a DX victory, so therefore you are just sitting there waiting, going, okay, we'll just get through this bit, and then DX will come back, we'll get some decent spots, and then they'll win.
Yeah. Shane McMahon then gets a bin out from under the ring. He sets up the coast-to-coast on Triple H just before he does it. So he normally does the sort of Catholic... I was going to say the Catholic taunt, but that's not the right way of describing
the
it.
Catholic taunt! Oh my word!
Oh dear! Well,
is that Sheamus's new finisher?
Yeah, the Catholic taunt. But instead of that, he does the DX chop, flies across the ring, hits the coast to coast. It's such an impressive move for a guy that's not a trained wrestler to do.
Oh, sorry, I can't get over to Catholic taunt.
I know.
I'm gonna do. By the time we record next, I'm gonna come up with a new finisher for Sheamus called the Catholic taunt,
or for every religion, or a different taunt for every religion.
Be careful where we go.
I know we're on dangerous ground here.
I know it's a submission hold where he taunts someone, they tap out or pass out. Yes, that's what
I mean.
Like a Hell's Gate, but he taunts smack as they pass out.
To say we're on dangerous ground here, it was in the build to this where it was Shawn Michaels and God versus Vince and Shane. So I think we're a little bit safer than some of the things that have been done in this storyline.
Yeah, true. Which one's the one? Is that the same match where Shane gets handcuffed? No, that's...
I can't remember. That was months before the DX reunion.
Yeah.
And it was basically building up to the fact that Vince was making both of their lives hell. But yeah, Triple H is bleeding from the ear from the coast to coast as the Big Show basically just screams in his ear, which can't have been pleasant.
It's hardly a Catholic turn, I suppose.
Definitely not. Vince hits some very stiff looking punches to Michaels just to bust him open a little bit more. JR carries on going through the Hell in a Cell cliches. We call it Satan's playground, and there's Satan's superior, as Vince works Shawn Michaels over. He's going all in on the Satan here. It's on my most religiously we're on the most religiously shaky ground that we've ever been in this episode.
We're in the Catholic tour, God, Satan. We're going wherever the Catholicism this week.
Yeah.
Watch out for Judaism special coming soon.
Can't wait. Shane catapults Triple H on the outside into the cell off the ring steps, and Vince has the greatest smug look I've ever seen. He's sort of smugly laughing, and the crowds piss themselves as it's shown on the screen. Like, they're sort of booing as it happens, then Vince's face comes on and you just hear laughter, which is not necessarily the heel way to do things, I don't think.
No, I was going to say, yeah, I don't think that went down as they were intended.
No. JR describes Triple H as bleeding like a sieve. The metaphors are very much all over the place here.
Bleeding like a sieve. He's obsessed with things with arms in.
He is. Definitely. Big Show continues to dominate. Hits a Vader bomb, which... It's weird that the Big Show never really used it that much. Or maybe it's weird that they never... called it the Vader bomb when he did it.
The problem with it is you'd have to have it end the match doing that, because you can't have people getting crushed by the Big Show and bouncing back up.
No, very true. That would end the match. Vince goes for the pin but decides to pull Michaels up to teach him a lesson at two. Big Show then hits a couple of moves that I can't really remember him having other than this heel run. So he gets Michaels in the Cobra Clutch and then hits a backbreaker and then hits a leg drop, but he's standing up and basically falls forward onto Michaels and puts his leg across his throat, which are two really good moves, and I'm not sure why the Big Show didn't keep them through the rest of his career.
Yeah, it's not like you look at the leg drop and go, only heels do leg drops.
Yeah, exactly.
Because actually, the Big Show's never going to look the most athletic person ever. But at least it shows some flexibility when he's doing that rather than just stiff punches and kicks.
Yeah, because when he's doing that, when he's, as you say there, just doing stiff punches and kicks, then there's not much difference between him and the Great Khali, where... the Big Show is clearly a better athlete than the Great Khali and is more capable of doing things like the move we were talking about.
And has never killed a man.
And has never killed a man that we know of. Triple H comes back in, gets rid of the Big Show, goes to hit a pedigree on Vince, but it gets reversed, and Shane hits a torture rack backbreaker, which I thought was a very impressive move.
It starts off looking at it like he's going to do an angle slam, then yeah, gets him up and just gets stuck there.
Yeah. But yeah, he gets him, as you say, in the position to do an angle slam, but picks him up into a torture rack and then does a backbreaker. The commentary team talk about how Triple H reversed it, but I don't think that's how it was sold, because Triple H stays down for ages after it.
Yeah, and he drops square on his back. He drops square. Well, he's nearly dropped on his neck when he actually lands, but pretty much on his, supposed to be on his back.
If that's the reversal and he's all he gets from it is a broken neck, then I'd prefer to take the normal move, to be honest.
I've shown him now as a quadriplegic.
Yeah. Michaels comes back in, hits a brilliant sounding enziguri to Shane McMahon. It very much echoes around the arena, and then sells a clothesline from Vince McMahon as if his head's being taken off. We talk about it all the time, but for Shawn Michaels to be able to sell for Vince that well really shows what a talented performer he is.
Indeed, and just to whoop, I'll say this, it's like Shawn will just sell, and then, although he truly had that attitude back in the day, as everyone knows, that, but it does come to sell, and he will sell for anyone, Bob Hulk Hogan. Yeah.
Well, probably the biggest example, or the worst time for Shawn Michaels' attitude was around the Montreal Screwjob. And we watched the Hell in a Cell match, which was the pay-per-view before that, and he made The Undertaker look like he would destroy King Kong and Godzilla in a fight. So, yeah, even when he was at his worst in terms of like his attitude, he was still a ridiculously good performer, I think.
Just as an aside, I saw on the Gorilla Position podcast, they shared the other day, Ron Simmons pinning Vader, becoming the first African-American champion.
Yeah.
Took about no sell, hits the power slam, 1, 2, 3, and Vader leaps up within about a millisecond of being pinned.
Well, Vader's also like pretending like it's just the leverage for the pin that's got him beaten, rather than selling the finisher. So yeah, he acts frustrated as opposed to hurt. So yeah, that is one of the worst no-sells you'll ever see. The only other one that springs to mind for that is is Hogan versus the Ultimate Warrior at WrestleMania for the two titles, where it's almost the same thing. So Warrior hits the splash, Hogan gets pinned, and then is on his feet before the bell is rung after the three count. Not like Hogan to make it all about him.
No, who would have guessed?
Yeah. Vince McMahon then decides to drop his pants. That's a nice little trailer for this episode, I guess, if we just edit that bit. Looks like he's going to make Shawn Michaels join the Kiss My Ass Club. He's basically bending over, slapping it, and then Triple H appears behind Vince. Big Show goes for a splash on Shawn, but after taking Triple H out, but Vince gets pulled into the splash. Yeah, basically takes the splash off the ropes from the Big Show. The Big Show's face after he does that is great. It's like, it's very, almost Partridge-like. Oh, what have I done there?
It is very slapsticky. It's gone full Frank Spencer. It's gone, oh, babe.
Yeah, 100%. While Big Show...
That's a reference that no one... That's a reference that absolutely no one will get.
It's one for our international listeners, though. Frank Spencer and Partridge being brought in. While the Big Show's led down on his front after that, he gets dragged over and double team low-blowed around the post. And the King says he'll have to get a new pair. Which, again... They're talking so much about the Big Show's testicles here.
Yeah, it's growing a new pair. Both of them equally weird. As if you flick through the Argos catalogue and go, I have them. Or if you have the ability, they just fall off and you grow new ones, like teeth.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure that's how it works with adult teeth, but yeah, I get what you're saying. Either way, it's a ridiculous bit of commentary.
I never remember when I was younger, my balls fell off and just grew back.
Yeah, that's what's happening in puberty, right? Michaels then hits the flying forearm on Vince and the nip up. There's some booze again because it's Michaels in Canada. Triple H goes outside, gets a couple of chairs. One gets put around Shane's neck. Michaels goes to the top and hits an elbow drop, and there's blood coming from Shane's mouth. I assume it's a blood capsule, but it's a nice touch to basically write someone out off with internal injuries, I think.
It always looks really nasty as well when someone's got, because as I say, it's got to be a blood capsule, and they've never got the, it's bright fluorescent red. So when someone's coughing on them, it looks amazing.
Yeah, it's really a really good spot. JR at this point says the ref could show some mercy and just stop it. He could just say enough's enough. Come on, JR, it's not 2019. We're not going to stop a Hell in a Cell match. The Big Show comes back in, gets the ring steps, puts them over his head, but Triple H hits him in the belly with a steel chair. Makes quite a good sound, as you'd imagine, from the Big Show's belly at this point. He falls forward into the steps, and then the back of his head is supposedly hit with the chair, but I can't see how anything else would happen other than the chair just hitting the steel of the steps. Makes a good noise, but it's just not... A very logical spot, really.
No, but as we say, you have to do, essentially you have to give suspend some disbelief there, because the only other option is for him to smash over the back of the Big Show's head.
Yeah, definitely. The Big Show again being made to look like an absolute monster here is still sort of staggering after that. So Michaels hits him with a sweet chin music. He falls over. Back over and leans over the top rope. Vince comes back into the ring, looking very fired up, realizes that it's the two of them against him, so starts to look a little bit worried. DX then pulls the Big Show's tights down, and JR describes it as the biggest crack he's ever seen. DX then put Vince's head about halfway up the Big Show's ass, which... the amount that Vince is bleeding here is not a very sanitary spot.
that's it. Surely after this, Vince had to be signed up for WWE tetanus.
Yeah, 100%. And there's certainly less blood on Vince McMahon's face after he comes out of Big Show's ass here.
Yeah, right. That's it. Poor old Big Show, who's now going to be concerned that he has cancer. When he goes out of the shower, and there's blood pouring from him when he goes watches downstairs.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've basically watched a man be raped here, and we're laughing about it. It's an interesting spot, but you try telling Vince McMahon that his head's not going up your ass when he comes up with this idea.
You were sitting in the meeting and he's like, right, I'm going to proper stick it. It's like, sorry, what?
you're going to what? Yeah. It's brutal. Big Show falls out of the ring, basically struggling to pull his tights up. I'm not sure why the Big Show is so incapacitated by that.
PTSD. That's what it is right now.
That's the only thing. Triple H goes out of the ring, gets a sledgehammer. Michaels hits a sweet chin music on Vince McMahon, who sort of half sells it. He's on his knees. And then Triple H gets the sledgehammer, hits Vince over the back of the head, and the sledgehammer breaks, which is an absolutely brutal spot.
it could have easily looked ridiculous with being a sledgehammer, but the sound it makes when it cracks over his shoulder is just brilliant.
It's ridiculous. DX win after that. Obviously, Shane's been laid out with the elbow drop with the chair. Vince is pinned after the hammer shot. And Big Show is sat crying under the ring. Shane basically does a ridiculously good job of selling his injury. He looks as if he's in some sort of epileptic fit, basically, as he's being put onto the stretcher. The way his face trembles is absurd. The only thing that slightly ruined the end of the spot, or the spot at the end, sorry, is as they're leaving the ring, you can see that the hammer's broken about three quarters of the way up, which is the only way to do that spot safely, but it could have easily gone wrong. But yeah, it would have been better if the hammer had fallen out of sight, essentially.
Yeah, the referee could have easily given it a quick kick out.
Yeah. No. So yeah, that's the end of the match. DX win, and Vince and Shane, you can't imagine seeing them on TV for a good while after this. What were your thoughts on this match then, Chris?
I really enjoyed it. As I say, first time view for you and for me. It has everything you really want for Hell in a Cell. It's got this. I mean, the storyline running into it was okay. It's not the greatest we've seen, but it's by far from the worst. At least they've had a genuine reason to feud. The spots in there are really good. The Big Show actually sells being a monster quite well. They use him decently in this. It's hard to make him look that dominant all the way through without it just being a squash. So I like the way they use the Big Show in this. The spots were great. Everyone bled, apart from the Big Show, weirdly enough. I'm not sure why, whether they just wanted to keep him looking strong, or they'd already told him one thing, and he's like, right, I'm not blading.
Yeah, it must be that. So the Big
in
Show...
The same way that,
the Big
Show... Say, the same way that,
sorry, go on.
Sorry, I was going to say, I was watching Ghostbusters last night, and in the same way that Bill Murray gets slimed by slime, but therefore doesn't get covered in goo by the save of my fellow man at the end, because that was a trade-off. It must be exactly the same for the Big Show. We're just like, no, I'm not blading, but yeah, end of my ass, fine.
Yeah, I guess.
Razor blade, no.
I guess there is something for keeping him strong, because what happens next with the Big Show is that he goes on to have a Champion of Champions feud at Night of Champions with a triple threat match with Cena, and I can't remember who the champion of SmackDown was at that point, but yeah, so they're basically positioning him as a monster to for that in a month's time. I thought, yeah, it was a really fun match, exactly the sort of Hell in a Cell match you'd want. It was a good story, Vince wanting to get rid of DX, and as we talked about previously, this Hell in a Cell match is the end of the feud, essentially, which is exactly what it should be. The spots were probably safer than some that we've seen before, in terms of the fact there was no one coming off the cell to go through it or being thrown off it or anything. But they were still brutal spots that could have a big... there's a big margin for error with them. So things like the coast-to-coast and the hammer spot at the end and the elbow drop. So although they're slightly safer, they're still pretty brutal-looking spots. I think the Big Show was quite unfit at this point. I don't know if that's fair to say. He did very little in the match, and they did well, DX, to make him look like a beast, and it was only the low blows that sort of kept him out of the match, which, yeah, I get if they want to position him as a monster is the way to do it. But I just feel like he didn't necessarily earn his paycheck here.
No, well, I suppose it's, I was saying at the time he was ECW champion, so you don't want to just bury him.
You're absolutely right. We talked about it as well before. There's very little that either Vince or Shane will ask someone to do that they're not willing to do themselves, and I think we definitely see that through the course of this match. Vince basically will do anything to make himself look like an idiot or to make himself look like he's been killed, which you can say what you want about him negatively, but it is a positive thing that he's willing to go to such lengths for the business.
Yeah, exactly. For all his flaws, You can't level that high, as you say. He will never actually do anything that he won't do himself, and that's, you got to admire that leadership in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. What are you giving this one in terms of a star rating then, Chris?
I'm torn between 3.5 to 4. I'm going another quarter. I'm throwing it completely out. I'll go 3.75.
3.75. Okay. I've gone slightly lower. I've gone 3 stars for this one. I'm not quite sure why I've not gone higher, because I really enjoyed the match. But as you talked about, I don't think there was ever a point in the match where I didn't think DX were going to win. And that, I think that drags it down slightly.
Yeah, I was torn, because I watched it. I was going to give it 3 originally, because I watched it and was like, well, there's a load of good spots and yeah, it was fun, but nothing really happened that different. And then you go, well, no, because you don't need anything happen. You had a load of really good spots, decent ending. The story was okay. It's like, yeah, it's perfectly, it was everything you'd want from that kind of match.
Yeah, I feel like I've been a bit harsh there in our roundup episode, but when I've had more of a chance to think about it and more of a comparison against other matches, I might tweak it, but I'm sticking with my guns and going 3 star for the time being. Dave Meltzer gave this one 3.25 stars. So yeah, we're all within 3 and 4, which it doesn't sound like much when we're on a 5-star rating scale, I suppose. any closing thoughts on this one before we... In fact, sorry, I'll just mention what happens next. So I've already talked about the fact that Big Show goes on to have a Champion of Champions feud. Obviously, Vince and Shane are written off TV for a good while after this. DX go on to feud with the newly formed tag team of Rated RKO, which seems very apt to talk about in the in August 2020.
Yeah. Although I say that, Rated RKO were great and gave DX their first loss since they got back together.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It was a good feud, that. I can't remember how long it went on for, but it was definitely over at least 2 or 3 pay-per-views, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think it ran for about 3 months.
And yeah, as good a sort of storyline as DX versus Shane and Vince are, it is, sorry. There's always the sort of feeling that DX are better, and it's only like Vince's scheming that would ever make it competitive, where it's very different with Rated RKO in that they're the sort of two of the top stars in the company. So yeah, it's a much more even playing field in terms of who's going to win matches, I think.
Yeah,
hopefully we'll cover some of Rated RKO in a future episode, in a future series. I don't think they had a Hell in a Cell match, but yeah, we'll probably come on to them in a later series. Any closing thoughts on this one then, Chris, before we wrap up Unforgiven 2006?
If the Big Show needs counselling, there are numbers he can contact.
Yeah.
That is it.
That is all. Well, yeah. Maybe he's just...
We should fade out like a black screen. We'll put the number up on the Twitter for anyone who's also had Vince McMahon's head up their ass. Yeah. Support group.
if there's more than one person that's happened to, I would be more than worried. Well, Big Show seems to be over it. He's having a great time doing the Big Show show, which just makes it sound like I'm going Big Show, 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 show. But it's not.
I've not watched it yet. Have you seen any of it?
I have not seen any of it. I feel like that sort of thing could be a good Christmas special to do. So wrestlers' appearances in non-wrestling TV or films could be
Is on Netflix?
I think it is on Netflix. Yeah. I don't know if it's just on the American one or whether it'd be on the UK one, but
there's a whole special elsewhere, but what we should do is, for the fans, we should watch the pilot episode so they don't have to next week's episode.
Yeah.
We'll comment on how we find it.
you never know. People could be listening to this in a few years and they'll laugh at how we didn't take the Big Show show seriously after it's won Golden Globes and Emmys and all the rest of it.
True. If there are, then fair play. I'm glad the Big Show is now a triple Oscar winner. But...
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, that'll do us then for Unforgiven 2006. Until next time, thank you very much for listening. Thank you as always, Chris. And you can look
thank
forward
you.
To us letting you know whether the Big Show show is worth worth a watch next time.
Big Show.
Thanks very much. See you soon.
Bye.